My name is Barb McCulley. I grew up and still presently live on a street called Conroy. When I was a kid, Crosley Field was so close, so you would walk to Crosley Field. We'd go down across McMicken, down across Central Parkway, go down to which is the old Coleraine Avenue, and then turn left on the Spring Road, walk up a little bit, and there it was, right there. It was really cool to be young and living around the stadium at that time. Even though at the time we never had a whole lot of money, but my dad always got seats behind third base. And at that time, Crosley Field, if you sat behind third base, it was like you could almost reach out and touch these guys. You were just so close to everything. Everything was there. And then off toward the right is where the Reds came out of their dugout. And the one day we went, and there was my brother Donnie, my father, and myself, and we had our programs. So we're by the third base. And the guys are going to come out. So my brother Donnie says, let's go over and get our program signed. We go over there and stand there. Well, I had natural curly hair. I look like Shirley Temple. But I was kind of quiet. So we're standing there. My brother Donnie reaches out. And here comes Kluszewski. And he gets his program signed. So then I'm standing there. And he says, what about you? And I just shook my head. I was like scared to death. My brother said, she's a little shy. She wants hers signed too. So he took it from me, signed it, and he rubbed the top of my head and goes, there you go, curly top. And it was like, wow, Ted Kluszewski signed this and he touched me. It was really cool. And I just remember he had these huge arms. He was this big guy into a little kid. He actually looked bigger than life. He had his sleeves out and he was just this gigantic person. But I thought it was really cool how he'd sign your autograph. And at that time, going to the stadium was so different than today. I mean, you were right there with the players, and you'd see Veda Pinson, Kluszewski, and Gus Bell, and Roy McMillan, and all these guys. It was just a different time. It just seemed like you were actually going there to see the game, not to see how many beers you could drink or whatever. It was just a great time. And I remember another thing that, well, as kids, we'd have baseball cards. I was a little bit of a tomboy, so you always wanted to get the big guys. Well, the one day I got Ted Kluszewski, and we used to flip baseball cards. And you never really wanted to throw out your good card because you could lose it. But every now and then, we'd be flipping baseball cards, and out came my Ted Kluszewski, and he leaned up against the wall. I won all the cards. And it wasn't I did it. It was my Ted Kluszewski card. It was very interesting and a lot of fun. And it was just a lot of good times going down to the old Crosley Field. I kind of miss that. It's totally different than today. It just, the whole atmosphere is different. It's good times today, but it's not that closeness. And they were always willing to sign something, your hat, your hand, whatever you put out there. So it was a very good time.
Chris Eckes, chief curator of the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, recently took Mark Haney on a tour and pointed out some of the Ted Kluszewski memorabilia on display.
This uniform was the uniform that Ted Kluszewski wore. It was a home uniform during the famous 1956 season. In the pantheon of popular Reds teams, the 56 guys are right up there. They didn't win a pennant. They were right in the hunt until the final weekend of the season. But this was the group of power hitters, the Western Avenue Bombers. This was Clue and Wally Post and Frank Robinson as a rookie and Ed Bailey and these great home run hitters, and their home run hitting exploits really captured the fascination of the country. They wound up tying the all-time record for home runs hit by a team with 221 in 1956. And Ted Kluszewski, of course, was the first baseman. The example you see here is the vest style uniform that Ted had a big part in convincing the Reds to adopt. If you've ever seen a photograph of Ted, Ted was a very big guy. And the uniform styles at the time didn't lend themselves to a lot of flexibility. But the real heavy flannel style uniforms, that you're playing baseball in Cincinnati in July, it is hot. And these things would just hold sweat. And the more they held sweat, the more constricting they became. Clue was not a guy who did well with being constricted in his swing. So what he started doing was taking it upon himself to cut his sleeve shorter and shorter so he would have more room when he swung the bat and threw the ball and so forth. And eventually, the higher his cuts got, the more it began to resemble a vest. And the Reds wound up adopting a vest-style uniform that became something of a trademark of theirs throughout that decade and symbolized no better than in the form of Clue. The photograph that you see behind the jersey is a great one from spring training. Ted's got a wheelbarrow full of bats that he's pushing along in front of the dugout, and you can see how his sleeves have been unnaturally abbreviated by him. So that's a pre-vest style jersey that Ted's wearing there. And then over on this side, we have a small display in place paying homage to Crosley Field, which is celebrating this is the 100th anniversary of Crosley's opening back in 1912. And you have that number 18 jersey there that actually was worn by Clue when he was inducted into the Reds Hall of Fame. The guys used to put on uniforms or old uniform styles during the induction ceremonies, and this is one that's been in the Reds collection ever since that Hall of Fame induction night. So that's a vest style uniform that Ted wore very briefly, but he wore it during those induction ceremonies. The Reds used to do a publication called Red Leg News. It was something produced internally by the club, and it was basically just like a little newsletter or flyer. We have one on display here from 1953 that highlights Clue and his All-Star selection in 1953, and it's also highlighting Gus Bell, who was another member of that great 56 Reds team. Very gifted defensive outfielder and a very gifted hitter as well, who had pop, as seemingly everybody did, on that 1956 club. But yeah, that was a real neat publication. It went under different titles at different times, News of the Reds, among others. That was something that you could pick up to keep abreast of the current club, as well as they had a lot of minor league coverage in these publications as well.
Now, there's an overlap between Pete Rose and Ted Kluszewski. I mean, they were teammates together, and eventually he would have been the hitting coach?
No, Clue actually departed before Pete came along. Pete didn't come along in Cincinnati until 1963, and by that time, Ted had retired as a player. He was the hitting coach for Pete, yeah, so it kind of came full circle. I mean, obviously, he was the hitting coach throughout the decade of the 70s when Pete was a big part of the Big Red Machine, of course, up until 1978. And then when Pete came back as a manager in 1984, Ted was on his coaching staff during that period as well, up until the time of his death. Ted also went on to play for the Chicago White Sox. In 1959, the White Sox made the World Series. They were called the Go-Go Sox. They were known for their speed. They lost to the Dodgers in that World Series, but in something of a last hurrah for Ted as a great power hitter, he hit 3 home runs in that World Series. So White Sox fans remember Ted well also for his exploits in that series, albeit for a losing effort. And it was the only World Series that Ted appeared in during his career. Many Reds fans will remember well Wade Hoyt, a favored broadcaster for many, many years. Hoyt was also an amateur painter, and he tended not to focus too much on painting people. He did a self-portrait where he's depicting himself on the mound as a Yankee, and of course he's in the Hall of Fame for his pitching achievements for the Yankees primarily. But he also did a portrait of Ted Kluszewski. And again, Wade was an amateur painter, but this particular painting, which is signed by Hoyt and was presented to the Kluszewski family, he really emphasizes Clue's chest and his arms, and it's like he's sort of bursting from the canvas. So he kind of captured the essence of Ted. Ted was a very big guy, but the great part about it was he was the epitome of the gentle giant. Ted was this big hulking guy, but he was always the peacemaker. He was the one that wasn't going to start trouble, even though if he started it, he could also finish it very well, but he wasn't that way. He was a very competitive guy, and obviously that competitiveness translated into great success on the field, but everything I've ever read and every person I've ever talked to is that he was one of the sweetest men you'd ever want to meet. And you know, we're talking about his role as the hitting coach on the Big Red Machine. George Foster credits Ted with a great deal of his success. And it was Ted's record that George broke in 1977. Ted had held the record for most home runs by a Red in a single season with 49. So, very impressive number. In 1977, Foster hits 52, and that was his MVP season, and he remains the only Red to hit 50 or more home runs in a season. But no coincidence that his hitting coach at the time was Ted Kluszewski. So Ted helped George a lot in becoming the great power hitter that he was.
I meant to ask you about Kluszewski's bat. Mm-hmm. Now, he was swinging a heavier bat than most players.
Yeah, he was. And we've got an example of the bat back here. The other thing that's so remarkable about Ted Kluszewski is, for someone who was known as a home run hitter, justifiably so, he had tremendous, tremendous control of the strike zone. If you look at Ted's stats year in and year out, more often than not, at the height of his career for sure, he's hitting more home runs than he's striking out, which is just incredible to think of. These days, a guy hits 45 home runs and strikes out 100 times, we almost take it for granted because of the kind of hitters the approaches that they have at the plate lend themselves more to strikeouts. In Ted's time, strikeouts were looked on very unfavorably, and Ted did not strike out a lot. So to be able to hit almost 50 home runs and you're striking out less than 40 times in the same year that you hit 49 home runs, it's just incredible. So while Ted did have that kind of power, he also had great control at the plate. He could hit for average, which he did, and he got on base. He was not afraid to take what the pitcher gave him. He wasn't always up at the plate swinging for the fences. So it's another facet of his game that made him such a remarkable hitter. And what we're looking at here is a little tribute to that 1956 Reds club. We mentioned Gus Bell and Wally Post and Frank Robinson and, of course, Bertie Tebbets, the manager of that club. But the focal point is, again, Ted, because he was the most popular player on what became the most popular team in Reds history in many ways, and the team that really came to symbolize the 1950s. They gave each guy on that club a special ring. They call them the 221 rings, and those are the rings that represented the record-setting home run total that the club had hit that year. The bat that we have on display is one of Ted's models. It's actually from later in his career after he left the Reds, but it's a U1 style, so it doesn't have the really tightly defined knob. It's more of a smooth finish on the knob. And it was slightly heavier than what other players might use, but it wasn't as exaggerated as, say, Ed Rausch's bat, which is known as the heaviest bat ever wielded by anybody in baseball history. But that's one of my favorite things when talking about Ted Kluszewski is, for a power hitter, you look at some of his other statistics and you're really taken aback by how much he didn't do some things that you associate with power hitters. If there was any deficiency to his game at all, it might be that he wasn't terribly fleet of foot, but that's understandable. There he is right there. Ted Kluszewski, he was inducted in 1962, August 1st, to be specific. The Reds Hall of Fame, of course, began in 58, so he was part of one of the first induction classes. And deservedly, Hall of Fame can be interpreted as being the place for players who put great statistics together, but also you can take it literally, players who are famous. Ted Kluszewski, one of the most famous Reds in the history of the organization, and sort of a given that he would be inducted into the Reds Hall of Fame.
Good guy in the community as well.
Oh, yeah, but Ted was one of those guys that never said no to an autograph. He had a steakhouse here in Cincinnati, and it was not unusual to see him there greeting patrons as they walked into Ted Kluszewski's steakhouse. One of those guys, really, that just had a perfect